was, friends, a very good morning and happy St. Patrick's Day from New York City. And wherever you are in the world, we want to welcome you, of course. We're going to be with you for a few hours today. I hesitate to say, 4 hours, because this is our 51st live St. Patrick's Day program of the Flannelly Show on the Irish Radio Network, USA, and irishradio.com, where, you'll find us. But again, the reason I think the primary reason we're going, presenting our 51st St. Patrick's Day program from New York is that for the first half century, we tried to develop a format, and a schedule. And unfortunately, that hasn't happened. And we looked high up, and, well, I did anyway. I was looking up high up and low down for a format. Everywhere, under the kitchen sink, you couldn't find a format. And so we thought we'd give it another try today. And but we're not going to put that much effort into it, friends. You're very welcome. New York, it's a fairly nice day in New York. And as you probably know, parades are, wherever they exist, they're extremely limited in, a few people getting together. However, if there is one place on the face of the earth that knows and has the tremendous tradition of celebrating our patron saint, St. Patrick, it has to be in New York City. And whereas we can't go live to Fifth Avenue today for the traditional parade, St. Patrick's Day parade, we can, I think we recorded a, as a matter of fact, I know we recorded some of the traditional pipe bands from previous years. And I think, actually, that'd be a good place to start. Let's go to the Westchester pipes and drums of the police department. I was going to say the city of New York. It's actually, it encompasses, it would be from the city of New York, but from Westchester. Anyway, let's see if we can set the tone for today's program. Anya Sheridan, the executive producer of the program, indeed, has lined up a great program for us. And she's also president of Flannelly Promotions, Irish Radio Network, USA, and, of course, irishradio.com. Best way to reach us, send an email to Anya, that's A-I-N-E, at Irish Radio. irishradio.com. The Westchester Pipe Band, I think, from a previous year.
The pipes and drums of the Police Criminal Society of Westchester County. Fire of the Gentleman! Quick! Fire!
Thank you.
Alright, we listen to some lively music here from Joe Duran, starting off with the first tune there, Bonnie Kate. And you are listening, friends, to the Flannery Show live from New York. And just to give you a little idea or two about what we plan to do here. Pretty shortly, of course, we'll be heading to Washington, D.C., to the, to the embassy, Irish embassy there, to catch up with Ambassador Dan Mulhall. And he gives us an idea of what we might expect in America and, throughout the day. And he'll also tell us about this very different year of St. Patrick's Day. You're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide. The busiest men in America today on the St. Patrick's Day has to be the Ireland's ambassador to the United States, Dan Mulhall. And ambassador, a busy time, but a very special time indeed for all of America, and for that matter, for all of those who think and feel so fondly for Ireland.
Yes, it's a great day. Unfortunately, this year it has to be a virtual St. Patrick's Day, so the Taoiseach is here today virtually, but meeting with President Biden, Vice President Harris, and Speaker Pelosi, and the Congressional Friends of Ireland, all of whom have been so helpful to us in recent times, especially with regard to the negotiations on Brexit and the desire to protect the Good Friday Agreement and retain an open border on the island of Ireland. So it is a great day to have a president in the White House who has such deep affection for Ireland and such pride in his Irish heritage. That makes today a special day for the Irish, for Irish America, and indeed for Irish people everywhere.
And can you tell us just a little bit about Shades of Green and celebrating Irish America on the St. Patrick's Day?
Yes, this evening at 7:30 for 90 minutes, we're putting on a very special concert. Normally, this evening, I would be hosting a reception for about 800 people at a hotel venue here in Washington, D.C. This year, of course, we cannot do that because of the pandemic. So we decided that instead of the reception, that we would put on a special gathering for the Irish in America on St. Patrick's Day. So we have a whole range of people performing in the Shades of Green. We have stories from all over America of Irish Americans talking about their heritage. You know, we have musical performances from Ireland and from America, and it promises to be a really marvelous evening. I will be acting as MC and introducing the various acts, but it is going to be a very special occasion. And also today, we're celebrating the life of John Hume with a special program which will be available online, and where we have tribute to John Hume by a range of people, including President Bill Clinton and Secretary Hillary Clinton and many others who intersected with John Hume during his distinguished career as a peacemaker and an Irish citizen, representing Ireland, or connecting here in a very productive way with Irish America.
And Ambassador, we also know, of course, that you're celebrating Irish America with as host this evening, but also alongside a lot of Ireland's consuls general and in places like Atlanta and Austin.
Yes, all seven of our consuls general will be taking part in this Shades of Green celebration, which is amazing. Normally, our Patrick's Day reception is really for people in the Washington area who come, who we invite, and also people who are visiting the area for St. Patrick's Day. But on this occasion, we decided we could make it a national event, so we decided to get all of our consulates to become involved, and all of them will be acting as co-hosts, and they will be speaking from New York, Boston, Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Austin, and Atlanta. So we have a full lineup of both me as ambassador and my seven colleagues, the consuls general around the United States.
So
it promises to be a great occasion, and a new occasion. We'll be doing this again in the future, because in the future we'll be going back to having live events where individual consuls will be doing their own events all over the United States, and we'll be doing our things here in Washington. But so this is a unique occasion that we're all getting together and we're all combining to put on this what promises to be a magnificent evening of Irish culture and a unique celebration of St. Patrick's Day.
Ambassador, we thank you very much for joining us somewhat.
Can I just tell you one more thing as well?
Sure.
Yesterday, I attended a wonderful event here in Washington, D.C., organized by the White House Historical Association and the Daughters of the American Revolution. It was held at Mount Olivet Cemetery, beside the grave of James Holman, the Kilkenny-born architect who designed and supervised the construction of the White House. So it was a wonderful event. His grave had fallen into disrepair, and the Daughters of the American Revolution, together with the White House Historical Association, decided to repair the grave. And I was present yesterday for the unveiling of plaque at the grave, which highlights his contribution to America as the designer, as the architect of the most one of the most iconic buildings in the world, the White House. And the White House Historical Association also yesterday published a book, a new book about James Holman, and the first copy of that book was presented to President Joe Biden in the White House, a man who's now occupying a building by an Irishman from County Kilkenny who built it more than 200 years ago.
My God.
I thought that was a wonderful way of celebrating St. Patrick's Day, and we had the Papal Nuncio came along to say some prayers for the occasion, and we had representatives from the President of the Daughters of the American Revolution, and we had members of the Ancient Order of Hibernians from Washington, D.C. So it was a great gathering, and it's going to become an annual event at the grave of James Holman. That's one to look forward to for the future as well.
Ambassador, I want to thank you, and indeed as a frequent contributor to Irish radio programming, we thank you, and I'm sure you'll have us link with you pretty soon again.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone. Banatina Fela Nuclear.
Agus Kalmahaga. Celebrated all over the world, St. Patrick and the Three Leaf Shamrock.
In the dark, a ship was anchored. On a bright St. Patrick's Day, on the quay, a lass was crying. For her lover going away, in her hand she held an emblem, and its parted leaves were free, and her heart.
That one to Daniel O'Donnell, who's equally known and revered on both sides of the Atlantic. Okay, now we're going to head up to Yonkers, New York, to catch up with the McLean Avenue Band and a little tour tapping. Yes, okay. Family Show Live in New York, irishradio.com worldwide. You'll find us on Facebook and Twitter and every gadget known to mankind, except if you don't have to wind it up with her, to be honest. And all of our interviews, our greetings, everything will be archived, you know, later on in the day.
My friends are standing on the quay in grief and sorrow frantic. I'm just about to sail away on the bridge of Charm O'Leary. The anchor's way and the gangway's up, I'm leaving Tipperary. It's goodbye Nick, goodbye Pat, goodbye Kate and Mary. The anchor's way and the gangway's up, I'm leaving Tipperary. Now the sea is rising up, I have no more to say. I'm bound to meet our city boy, 3,000 miles away. Then the orchid's back, here I am, having fun and bacon. Surely the hunger pain when it's getting bacon. Now if the ship is past a station, that's a sea of pity. When the orchid's back, on the back, I walk to meet our city. Goodbye, Nick, goodbye, Pat, goodbye, Kate and Mary. The gangster's way, the gangster's up, I'm leaving Tipperary. Now the sea is rising up, I have no more to say. I'm bound for the York City boys. I left my sweetheart Mary Ryan in the land of nations over. When I get there, I write to her and I ask her to come over. It's goodbye, Nick, goodbye, Pat, goodbye, Kate and Mary. Gangsters waiting, the gangsters up, I'm leaving Tipperary. Now the team is rising up, I have no more to say. I'm bound for the Ark City Boys, 3,000 miles away. It's goodbye, Nick, goodbye, Pat, goodbye, Kate and Mary. The anchors weighing, the gangways up,
off, I'm leaving Tipperary. Now the steam is rising up, I have no more to say. I'm down from New York City, boy, 3,000 miles away. Here's what I make from my past, if I pay for nearly. Here's the way to get things up, I'm leaving Tipperary. Now the steam is rising up, I have no more to say. I'm down from New York City, boy, 3,000 miles away.
That's it. And that's, oh, yes. Yes.
I should say anything.
Oh,
today is a special day. I remember, who here tonight remembers the old days of Lent? Do you remember? Oh, God! Oh, do you remember? Oh, the pains are setting in. Do you remember we could give up everything? Remember? And everything was a sin. Especially if you enjoyed it. And today is the one day you can break it. Right? Everything we gave up, we could do. And today, you know, funny. Growing up in Ireland, whether it was Lent or not, there was a rule. You know, for me, every Saturday, I'd have to go to confession, come home, and wash my hair. That was the biggie. My sister and I. I think some Saturdays, to tell you the truth, we didn't have any sins. Like, there was no time to sin. You were running messages, you were doing your schoolwork, you were cleaning up the house. I mean, remember running messages for the neighbors? And my father used to tell us, now, if she offers you anything, no thank you. God, that used to kill me. I mean, you were dependent on that. And to say, here you are, Kat, now take that for yourself. You're a grand little girl. Say, ah, no thanks, Mrs. Murphy. Lovely, right. And in she go. You learned how to say no thanks with your hand out. That's how we made great politicians. And you go to confession, and so some Saturdays I'd have to go to confession and I'd have no sins, and I'd have to make up sins. And that's another sin on top of it, you know, because telling a lie and confessing, I was consumed with guilt. Because you couldn't go into the priest and say, I've no sins. I mean, he'd say, what do you mean? He'd eat you. He'd say, what do you mean coming here to me with no sins on your soul? And so he used to make up real bad ones. I mean, real good ones. You know, and tell him, oh, yes, Father. And then I'd come home from confession, and then you wash your hair. And then you could stay in, because your pores were open. Hear my father saying to my pals, Karma can't come out, her pores are open. And we fell for it. And we did it. And I say to my children today, you have it comparatively easy. You know that a while ago I was in Los Angeles, and you know they had a drive-in confessional. Tooth and tell. And they'd an express lane for seven sins and under.
Well, you know, a great entertainer, she just passed last week at the age of 95. But her and all of her humor, her songs, her dance, and her singing. She didn't dance that much, but she got a lot of people dancing, you know, to her to wonderful songs and music. Okay. She would have come to from Dublin to America in the mid-50s somewhere. She actually came to enter a contest. It was a great radio and television who claimed Irishness, Arthur Godfrey, and Carmel took a chance, came over, and entered the competition, and won. And of course, the prize, this Arthur Godfrey was something else. The prize was that if you were a winner, first time out, you got to co-host the program for 3 days. And, well, not only did Carmel Quinn co-host the radio program for the 3 days, she was there on and off for the next 6 years. And somewhere along the line, Arthur Godfrey, he couldn't keep quiet. He had to join her in song. Here's an example. Yeah. Arthur Godfrey, Carmel Quinn.
Oh, I went out one morning, it being the month of May. A farmer and his daughter I spied upon me way. And the girl sat down quite calmly to the milking of her cow, saying,
I will and I must get married, for the humour is on me now.
Now be quiet, you foolish daughter, and hold your simple tongue. You're better free and single and happy while you're young. But the daughter shook her shoulders and she milked her patient cow, saying, I will and I must get married, for the humour is on me now.
It's a time that married young yourself you did. Took me darling mother from off the finger shed.
Ask your daughter dear, go easy and milk your patient cow. For a man may have his humor, but the humor is off me now.
Oh, did I tell me mother the awful thing to say? Indeed, I tell me mother this very dreadful
day. Now daughter, have a heart dear, you'll start a fearful row.
So I will, unless I marry, for the humor is on me.
At last the daughter married, and married well to do, and loved her darling husband for a month, a year or two.
Aye, but John was all a tyrant, and I quickly wooed me bow. Then I'm sorry that they married, for the humor is off me now.
The humor is off me now.
And you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, coming to you from New York. And let us get to the Irish Arts Center in New York and to Executive Director Aidan Connolly. Aidan, you're very welcome indeed.
Thank you so much, Adrian, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you and your listeners.
Thank you indeed. Now, listen, maybe you could give us a capsule of, you know, the progress and the significance of the new Irish Arts Centre, this almost on the 50th anniversary of the founding. You know, you're not old enough, but I am too.
I'm almost old enough, in fairness, Adrian. I'm almost old enough.
Yeah. A small venture going back to the beginning. Not only has this stood the test of time, but it's actually going to be, or is, subject to the launch, the greatest cultural center for the Irish, not only in New York, but I would say pretty much across the United States.
Well, it is a wonderful shared journey, and I'm glad you hearkened back to history, because when we think about this project, we really do view ourselves as temporary custodians of something that is much larger than any of us. Back in the 70s, when those remarkable folks came together to connect Irish culture to the spirit of New York, if you will, that's still very much in our ethos, the idea of a place where Irish culture can live and breathe and evolve and most essentially connect with the wonderful melting pot of cultures to be found here in New York City. So at a values level, we feel deeply connected to what's come before us. Our version of it, our chapter is, of course, different, as every chapter is different. And we've had a wonderful opportunity to take, as you know, a small tenement space on 51st Street. And through our partnership with the City of New York and the neighborhood and the Irish government and so many generous private supporters and foundations and the artistic community, of course, in Ireland and New York and indeed around North America, come together on a vision for an Irish Arts Center for the 21st century build a multidisciplinary program, music, dance, literature, humanities, visual arts, theater, and understand what those spaces need to be to serve artists, artists from Ireland coming to New York looking to impact the culture through this remarkable environment, as well as, of course, Irish and non-Irish artists based here in the U.S. So really trying to understand what kinds of spaces will serve them for the future. And, I think we thought it might only take maybe 5 or 6 years, and it's taken about double that to build this piece of permanent infrastructure, 22,000 square feet, adjacent to our existing tenement building on 51st Street, so an L-shaped building. That will have entrances on 51st Street and on 11th Avenue, and a magnificent, flexible theater, very dynamic, classroom spaces to serve our education programs, and importantly, a ground floor, very welcoming lobby cafe, to allow us to bring the community together and bring people together, celebrate, support, and enjoy the wonderful artistic work that will live in this space. And I guess, when we think about the effect of the pandemic, I don't think I had the pandemic on my dance card for this project, for all the surprises and twists and turns, but there it was. We obviously had an opportunity to really engage deeply with digital programming, which we had done previously to a certain extent, but obviously, as so many arts institutions have had to do over the last year, really, really engaged deeply on that front. So we're excited to now bring the virtual and the real back together and create a wonderful homecoming that will be part of New York's cultural restoration come autumn, which is when we imagine it will be at this point safe for full audiences to gather. So that's what we're looking ahead to. Building is effectively done. It's in good shape. We're punch listing, as they say, working through some things, planning for the day when it's safe to gather. Certainly next St. Patrick's Day, but even sooner, before the holidays in 2021, this new Irish Arts Center will be fully realized.
Aidan Connolly again, and our best to, and our best, of course, to Pauline Turley, who, with yourself, yes, have been on board from day one. Aidan Connolly.
Thank you, Adrian. Great to be on.
Friends, thanks to a couple of Jake here from Paddy Noonan, an Irish party, and I'm sure that'll bring back some memories to those who, you know, came here particularly like in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and Paddy Noonan is the house band at New York City Center. Irish Radio, USA, the final show live. School, a national school in Ireland, was a song that was actually, you know, it was known in Irish and learned in Irish and in England. The song itself is Westering Home, but we learned it not only in English, but of course in Oskilga. So let's go to Mary Courtney, and she'd sing, okay, what is the first song in Gaelic on this, our 51st St. Patrick's Day program. Here, Mary Courtney, and the song, Trastna na Zonta. Trastna na best way to reach us, friends, is to get in touch with Aine, A-I-N-E, at irishradio.com. Aine at irishradio.com. And that'll get to this. You know, I just have a couple of emails here already saying, yeah, Trastna na Zonta is very fine. What about the song Western Home? Well, that was it. If you want it in English, hang in, because we'll do that, of course, in the next few hours. All right. Take it back to Ireland. Ritual Day. It's a welcome to an Irishman when I'm the don't obey. So we'll take you back. Nick Maloney, who is from Limerick and is has his doctorate in musicology, and he dug up, he polished up a lot of songs that had long been forgotten and were buried in the archives. And one of those, so throughout the next few hours, we play some of music. One that comes to mind here, and more importantly comes to the gramophone, is a song called Are You the O'Reilly? Okay, and it goes like this. As we dedicate this to some great friends of ours, Jack and Wanda O'Reilly in Mount Pisco, New York. Okay, Nick Maloney.
I'm Terence O'Reilly, I'm a man of renown. I'm a thoroughbred to the backbone. I'm related to O'Connor, me mother was queen of China, 10 miles from Athlone. But if they let me be, I'd set Ireland free, on the railroad I would pay no fare. I'd have the United States under me thumb, and I'd sleep in the president's chair. Are you the O'Reilly that owns the hotel? Are you the O'Reilly they speak of so well? Well, if you're the O'Reilly they speak of so highly, upon this O'Reilly you're still very well. We'd have nothing but Irishmen on the police patrol, day be the 4th of July. I'd get the 1,000 infernal machines so the Chinese back home they could fly. The working men's call, I'd defend it with law, New York would be swimming in wine. $10 a day would be very small pay, but the White House and Capitol are mine. Are you the O'Reilly that owns the hotel? Are you the O'Reilly they speak of so well? Well, if you're the O'Reilly they speak of so highly, upon this O'Reilly you're doing very well. He's assigned to the commissary. Back home in old Dublin, he did very well, but he's now working for the army. He will serve at the pub, but he's now serving grub, and it's flavored with powder and lead. He took 16 shillings to go do his killing, but he's cooking for soldiers instead. Are you the O'Reilly that holds the hotel? Are you the O'Reilly that speak up so well? Well, if you're the O'Reilly that speak up so highly, upon the O'Reilly you're doing very well.
The multitude of songs, you know, of Irish America going back to, well, to the beginning of the last century.
1977, in Dublin Zoo, the Indian elephant escaped. And it was unheard of for this type of an event to happen. And there was a lot of embarrassment. People were very upset that the elephant escaped. But to make matters worse, it went missing for 2 weeks. Now we're talking about an elephant, if it was a penguin, maybe, or an ostrich or something, we're talking about a 5.5-ton elephant going missing for 2 weeks. And it ended up in County Galway. Which even makes it worse. And I could never understand like how nobody's seen it going through Turtle's Pass or somewhere like that. Or at Lone before the bypass. I could never understand. And it ended up in Connemara, out in Clifton, in Mrs. Murphy's back garden. And I want you to visualize, if you will, that Mrs. Murphy is a woman now. She's a very, very senior lady. She's no television. She didn't buy magazines. She really didn't leave the village ever in her life. So she didn't know what an elephant was. She hadn't a clue. She'd seen sheep and cows and hens and ducks and dogs and cats. But she'd never seen an elephant. So I want you to visualize what happens when the elephant comes into her back garden. She's just come in, where she's pulled a few heads of cabbage for the husband's dinner, and she's washing them at the sink, when the elephant comes in, and she gets a little bit distressed. Elephant comes in like this.
I'm glad his name is Seamus.
Seamus! Come out quick! The beast! Out in the back garden!
Yes, you don't be cutting yourself. There's only Doran's bull from up the road.
Bull? Bull, my bull! Bull! It's bull!
What's he doing?
He's pulling up heads of the cabbage with his tail.
What's he doing with the heads of the cabbage?
If I told you, you wouldn't believe.
One, two, three. In the year of the Lord 1816, in the old vehicle, we were sitting on the way with a cargo of brickboard and Brandy Hall in New York. We had gathered and cried, we were brickboard and now, and know how the train is to go over. She had went to heaven and put up a blast, and they called her the Irish. Come on.
A great song, very popular song in Ireland and here. Judy Garland, okay, was born in 1922. She would go on to be, one of the greatest popular movie stars, Hollywood movie stars of all time. Born in 1922, her career as an actress, she claimed, began at age 2 when her mother, a bit pushy, you know how musicians and singers and musical, influence in families. Well, her mother thought that she had a great voice altogether, and the mother, a musician, was at a concert and thought that Judy Garland she was terrific. She could sing Jingle Bells, and then she, took her out from the side of the stage, made a big deal about it. And Judy was, she was doing very fine, and then she had to go to the bathroom. Anyway, let's move forward with that, because in 1939, Judy Garland became best known at age 17 for the movie The Wizard of Oz. And shortly after that, she was born in Minnesota, and her ancestors were English or Scottish. Had Irish lineage, but when Judy Garland was asked, what was she? Well, she was, of course, one, as many of us would know, of the 35 million people who associate and who affiliate as Irish Americans. Judy said she was Irish, and who are we, you know, to go back in time and change any of that? But shortly after she starred in The Wizard of Oz, she recorded a song which is very appropriate for the day of the sun, Judy Garland, and it's a great day for the Irish. Okay.
From the talks of happy Irish men, the 100,000 strong, sure it was the Hibernian Brigade, lining up for the start of the big parade. So I checked me Sunday bonnets and the flag I love so well, and I bought myself a shamrock just to wear in me lapel. Don't you know that today's March 17th? It's the day for the wearing of the green. It's a great day for the Irish. It's a great day for fans. The sidewalks of New York are thick with blarney. For sure you think New York was all calarney. It's a great day for the shamrock, for the flags in full array. We're feeling so inspiring, sure, because for all the Irish, it's a great, great day. Every Irish son and daughter, every good old Irish name and his relation. They come from Tipperary, Donegal and County Kerry, but they all are here to join the celebration. Now there's Terence O'Toole and his cousins, Phil Doherty, Patrick O'Bogle and Mullen, the groom, Mike Maley, Tim Daly and Bonnie O'Flaherty, Danny O'Doole and his famous Carew. Collies and Donnies and Katie's O'Bannigan, Ryan's O'Brien's McLovin's and Mitch McGlone's and McFadden's and Mr. Pat Flanagan, Hogan's and Grogan's McPherson's and Jim. It's a great day for the Irish. It's a great day for fair. Because there's not a club to stop parading. Before all the cops are out parading. It's a great day for the shamrock, for the flags in full array. And as we go swinging, every Irish heart is singing. It's a great, great
For hundreds of years, the island of Ireland has celebrated St. Patrick's Day. And while this year things will be a little quieter on our streets, in our castles, along our coastlines, there is always one place where the celebrations will never cease. In here. It's a testament to the renowned Irish spirit. The spirit that is spread to every corner of the globe. So, however you mark the occasion, always remember that no matter where you are in the world, as long as you have a piece of Ireland in your heart, you are celebrating with us. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
And happy St. Patrick's Day to you too, Liam Neeson. Friends, let us go to, I want to go to Ireland and to somebody, of course, who is a familiar voice on, you know, on this radio program. We're very happy with it. Niall Givens, Tourism Ireland Chief, worldwide, live from Ireland. How are you doing there?
Jim and Anya, happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Greetings from Dublin. Only sorry I can't be with you in real life in New York, but hopefully that won't be too far away. I'm keeping very well. It's lovely to be back on the show again. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all your listeners, and I hope you're all keeping safe and well.
What is the atmosphere today? I know it's quiet all over, but I would like, first of all, to say greening of Ireland. Ireland is green, but so are, is it 60 other countries have icons and iconic green, you know, totally showing their love and affiliation for Ireland. Tell us.
Yeah, it's been an amazing year. I mean, obviously from a travel and tourism perspective, we're all disappointed we can't go anywhere and there are no parades on, which is a pity. So we had to pivot everything to get things online. And we were a bit worried about our global greening project this year. It's the 12th year we're doing it because some of these sites that we go to are furloughed and their tourism attractions are not open. But we were astonished by the response. And as of last night, we now have over 700 sites in 66 countries around the world. So major icons like the London Eye in London, the Empire State Building in New York, the Sydney Opera House are all going green again. But in countries like Japan, we've got 13 icons greened up. We've got countries that were never on the list before, like Panama, Cuba, Egypt. 66 countries have joined the movement this year, and it is just truly phenomenal. And it just shows you the reach and the spread of the Irish around the globe. And I want to pay tribute to everybody that's been involved with this project. It's beyond our wildest expectations. So really, really positive news. And thank you, everybody, that's been part of it.
Can you take us back, though, to 12 years? And, you know, you were in New York, you were on this program, and you were telling us about how you were speaking with and getting a good reaction from, you know, some places, far-flung places, for the greening. Tell us about how that presentation was made.
The first global icon that went green for us was the Sydney Opera House. And the occasion was in 2010, and it was the 200th anniversary of the first ever reception for Irish expats, which was held by the then Governor Lachlan Macquarie of New South Wales. Now, I mean, maybe I'm being polite, they're expats, I'm not too sure if they were convicts, but it is a documented event. And it was the 200th anniversary, and our team down there asked the authorities if they liked the Opera House green for the occasion. It was during the global financial crisis, so people were feeling pain, but that lighting up really brought a smile to a lot of people, and it lifted their hearts and their spirits to indicate the strength of the Irish diaspora around the globe. And we decided from then, let's try and push this a little bit further. We knew that the Empire State Building already lit up green, but we asked places like the London Eye, the Burj Al Arab in Dubai, and gradually this movement started up. We had about a dozen in our first year, and it's just gone from strength to strength. Niagara Falls on both sides of the US and Canadian side. I mean, I'm looking at the list here from the United States. It's running to nearly 3 pages, and it's all the traditional cities you'd expect, like New York, Chicago, and Boston. But it just stretches everywhere. It's Las Vegas, it's Jersey City, it's Notre Dame, Newport, Philadelphia, San Antonio, San Francisco, Phoenix. Just too many to mention. And it's an indication of the spread and reach of the Irish around the globe and their influence and the positivity that people think about in terms of Ireland on St. Patrick's Day.
My guest, of course, Niall Givens, CEO of Tourism Ireland Worldwide. As we look forward, of course, nobody knows exactly when it will be the right time to travel. We have to see what's going on throughout the world. But there is hope for the third quarter. All the signs are positive, and, you know, and we have the word of the president here, Joe Biden, who, like yourself and myself, have, you know, mayoral roots, which I barely brought up there because I don't want to embarrass you or our audience by mentioning Mayo. But anyway, let's say that the herd immunity kicks in, say, in the summer, midsummer. How prepared is Ireland? What is going to be the, the preparation time? Are you ready to go?
Well, Tours of Ireland will be ready to go. I mean, we have spent a lot of the time of the last year keeping the lights on for Ireland abroad. We've been conducting a lot of international market research and keeping in touch with the travel trade. We had our Minister, Catherine Martin, on Zoom yesterday, along with 25 of the top providers of business into Ireland, just to get here at first hand how things are going in the market. We are aware that the vaccination program is going from strength to strength, and it's basically been pushed by a Mayo man as well, which is great. And I think in Ireland and across the continent of Europe, we're not as fast. The vaccine program is rolling out. And in Ireland, in the next 3 months, in April, May and June, we will see in excess of 1 million vaccines a month distributed. And by the end of June, it's expected that about 98% of the vulnerable population will have been vaccinated. So it's heading in the right direction. I think it's too early to call at this point, Adrian, just when we might be pushing the button to reopen international travel. But I think, we'll keep in touch with everybody. Communication platforms are very strong. And the Irish government will be making an announcement in early April and early May. But I think we have a fair indication of the type of sequencing from what we've seen before. I mean, the big priority is to get public health, take the pressure off public health, it's to get schools back, it's to get things like construction, non-essential retail, and then we'll see outdoor dining, some limited indoor dining, and domestic tourism, followed by international tourism. And we just don't know how long that path is just yet, but I think it's important that we double down on this virus and get it into the rearview mirror so we can all enjoy our trips again. We do know from all the research we've conducted that people are really keen to travel. There's no question about that. People are very keen to get back to Ireland. People have missed a lot of family occasions. A lot of people have experienced the happiness of the births and marriages and sadly some deaths as well. And we're picking up a lot of positive sentiment towards coming to Ireland when the time is right.
I think that Ireland can expect an invasion. Not just a lot of tourists, an invasion of those who want to get to Ireland. We all do. I want to acknowledge, though, finally, that first of all, Ireland.com is considered to be the website, the greatest source of information on Ireland itself, on Ireland travel, and as such, you have so many, innovative ways and add-ons for the last year. Social media, give us a quick rundown on that.
Yeah, look, we've invested in the Ireland.com site. It's available obviously in the United States, but it's actually 33 different countries around the world, 12 different languages, all put together and all being launched right now across the globe. So that's very positive. We also have a new campaign called Green Buttons, which will be filming in May, I beg your pardon. That'll be ready for the summer months or whenever international travel is going to restart again. And on the digital side of the house, I mean, it's very, very positive. We had on Facebook over the last year over 1 billion impressions. So it's 1 billion opportunities to see something about Ireland. We've got tens of millions of views of videos, some great content from people like Liam Neeson, Pierce Brosnan and others, advocating all the great things that there are to see and do in Ireland. And we now have 4.5 million fans on Facebook who have an average of 220 friends each. So if we can get everybody on Facebook to like or share one thing, we'll hit an audience of 1 billion every time. And those are big numbers for a country with a population across the island of Ireland of less than 7 million. So we're very positive, very proud of that. And we'll keep on hammering the message home.
Okay, one of those billions of people who have not only an interest in Ireland, but a keen interest, I would like to acknowledge that on this, my 51st year of broadcast of St. Patrick's Live, St. Patrick's Day program, it marks 51 years of support from Tourism Ireland, and for that I really want to thank you and all your shares, and without your support I'm not too sure we'd be here, but thank you, and good luck on this strange St. Patrick's Day, different St. Patrick's Day, but hopeful St. Patrick's Day. Niall?
Well, thank you very much indeed, Adrian, and it's great to have been a supporter of the show, and we look forward to the next 51 years, and certainly on the 52nd year, I can guarantee that I'll be over there with you, hopefully broadcasting live from New York City.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Right, friends, that's Niall Gibbons, the man who runs Tourism Ireland worldwide. And of course, we should be welcome to Ireland anytime. They're saying indeed the sentiment of many of us who want to go to Ireland like yesterday, but we'll be ready to go. And also, of course, as Niall Gibbons there was telling us, Ireland is ready, and yeah, and hopefully that will happen sooner rather than later.
The young lad, I long to see the world. Sail across the same ships and see the sails and putters. Oh, I went to see me barking on the far side of the hill. I won the far and wide and now the family let me bear. And it's home, boys, home. Home I'd like to be, home for a while in the old country. For the oak and the ash and the money around the tree.
Oh, I left me love behind me and I sailed across the tide. I said that I'd come back again to take up for me wider. But many a year has passed and gone and still I'm far away. For I know that she'll come to and waiting for the day that I'll be home,
boy, home. Home I'd like to be, home for a while in the old country. Where the oak and the ice and the money around the tree.
But I've learned more to life than just to wander and to roam. And happiness and peace of mind can best be found at home. For money can buy happiness and money can't find it. So I'm going back tomorrow to the girl I left behind. And
home, boys, home. Home I'd like to be. Home for a while in the old country. For the old country and the money around the city.
That was O'Brien. Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio, Irish Radio Network USA, and nobody has actually asked me, but I want to answer the question anyway. Whatever happened to John Deary? Well, what happened to John Deary was he was my co-host for 30 years or more, And he claimed he got exhausted. Now, there's nothing exhausting about co-hosting a radio program, and you know that, John. You're very welcome.
I must say, among the most wonderful times that I've had, enjoyed sitting next to you, learned so much about things of Irish dimension, and they were great years to reflect on. And while we're talking about St. Patrick's Day, wonderful, wonderful days of singing, song, friendship, camaraderie. So it's awfully nice to speak with you on this special day.
I don't know, John. Sorry, after 30 years that you should put singing in there, I know that leads to the question, John. Have you given up singing, you know?
Well, let me ask you this, Adrian. I think more important than asking your husband to stop singing is, have you gotten in the intervening few years here, have you gotten any requests for me to, you know, to do my number, my Galway Bay? Have you gotten any requests on that?
I'm looking through here. Deary, D-E. No.
No, well, no. I would remember it. I don't think I need to check it.
Yeah. All right, listen, John, try not to murder, but could you at least, let's see if you improved anyway in your singing. Do a little bit of Galway Bay. Preferably the last two lines, no?
So, and if you go across the sea to Ireland, then maybe at the closing of your day, you will sit and watch the sunrise over Clare, and watch the sun come down on Galway Bay.
Good. Listen, that is terrific. There are two people clapping. Mine is the lightest, but only Sheridan is applauding.
Well,
that, I think primarily because we're stuck with it just a few minutes. But I would like to acknowledge, John, that for those 30 years, we definitely shared a great amount of everything that you have mentioned and more. But tell us, if you will, about your family, Kitty, who put up with a lot through the years, as you know.
She's a fainted woman, and we have the two boys, John and Michael. Both of them are lawyers. John is working with me and running our law firm. And son Michael is just recently passed the bar, and he's working for the city of New York in the workers' compensation field. And their wives, they were married in 18 and in 19. Their wives each delivered a beautiful one boy, one girl, Luke and Penelope. And John Patrick and his wife, Leave, are expecting a baby girl in July. So we've had a wonderful period, and we've gotten through the virus, as I'm delighted to hear you have also. And so let's hope for better days here as we look forward. But these have been wonderful years for the last three or four.
John, lots of luck and lots of thanks to you for indeed making the radio programs what they were, and hopefully we'll get you back on when we have some more time. But it wouldn't be St. Patrick's Day and our radio program without hearing from John Deary. Again, thanks
thank
for
you, that. Wonderful, Adrian, and I really trust that you'll do your unicorn song a little bit later in the show. So
yeah,
thanks very much, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, just on that note, John, I don't think I should do it right now after your Galway Bay, after, you know.
it would make me look good, very frankly.
Okay,
good
thanks. God
happy
bless.
Day.
All right. A number of
my king, all the kingdom that is held in high renown. It's a place to then call Kerry, where there's not a care nor worry, from the highest hills up to the smallest town. Of this kingdom is the cry of every girl and boy, from every Kerry heart, both young and old. To the kingdom we'll
go.
My Deirdre Riley, and you are listening, friends, to the Flannelly Show. I'm returning to you live from New York for 51 years in a row. Okay, we're going to hang it, I think. I don't want to jinx myself, but anyway, it's St. Patrick's Day, and of course, we'd like the story of the tree and the deer. There's a Shamrock of Ireland by Philomena Breslin.
Thank you.
great song, great presentation.
I always talk about the Americans, of course, Canadians, Australians, people who visit Ireland. We get a lot of people, of course, from all over Europe, but Americans in particular, they love Ireland. They love looking for leprechauns and all that sort of thing. You can imagine this fella from Detroit, Michigan, and it's his first time in Ireland. He's never been to Ireland before, and he arrives on flight EI-104, and he steps down from the Aer Lingus Jumbo, and as he walks down the steps, he sees this fella standing beside a very, very long table with a white tablecloth, and there's all skulls on the table, all skulls and bones on the table. And the fella standing there with the plaid jacket, you see, and the old cap and the pipe. The American comes over and says, "How are you doing there? Very happy to be here in Ireland. What are you doing, sir?"
He says, "I'm living here."
"Yes, sir." He said, "But what are you doing right now?"
"I'm standing looking at you."
"But," he said, what's this display?"
"See, I'm selling skulls."
"You're selling what, sir?"
"See, I'm selling skulls."
"You're selling skulls? Not skulls, you idiot. Skulls. Skulls, skulls, skulls. Head with no skin, skulls." "Oh, you're selling skulls. Oh, yes. What sort of skulls do you have?"
"Well, I have the skulls here of famous Irishmen. I have the skull now, for instance, of Brian Boru. I have the skull of Finn McCool. I have the skull of St. Brendan the Navigator. I have the skull of St. Patrick. I have the skull of Coolcullen."
He says, "Hold on, sir. Are you telling me you've got St. Patrick's skull here?"
"Yes, that's St. Patrick's skull there. That's the great St. Patrick, patron saint of Ireland."
"He says, you've got to be kidding me. How do I know that's St. Patrick?"
"You ask it."
"Your man was a ventriloquist as well." "Well," he said, I guess I'd like to buy that skull from you, sir." "So how much are you going to charge?"
"Well," he said, "you can make me an offer."
"How about $25?
Go again."
"Okay, so how about $20?
"That's enough, that's enough."
"How much is that in Irish money?"
"See, about £75. "Pick up the money."
He got the money, and the American took the skull in a dump store's bag, and he headed off back to the United States. Now, he put the skull of St. Patrick on display in his pub restaurant, and people came from everywhere around America to Detroit, Michigan, to see the skull of St. Patrick. And he made $5 million over 5 years from people looking at the skull. He came back to Ireland. He decided he'd come back here, and he arrived once again on flight EI-104, and he came down the steps. And as he came down the steps, he saw the same man standing beside a table with skulls. And he says, "How are you doing there? Very happy to be here in the Emerald Isle." "Yes, sir." He said, "What are you doing today?"
"Yeah, I'm living here."
"But what are you doing?"
"Yeah, I'm selling skulls."
"So what skulls do you have today, sir?"
"Well, today I have the skulls here of famous Irishmen. I have the skull here of Brian Boru. I have the skull of Coolcullen. I have the skull of St. Brendan the Navigator. I have the skull of St. Patrick. I have the skull of Finn McCool." He says,
"Hold on, sir. Oh, are you telling me you've got the skull of St. Patrick?"
"Yes," he said, "that's the skull there of the great St. Patrick, the patron saint of Ireland."
He says, "You've got to be kidding me, guy. I was here 5 years ago, and you told me a skull a little bigger than this. You said it was St. Patrick."
"Actually, I remember you now. Well, this is St. Patrick when he was a boy."
Thank you.
Irish. Come into the forest, there's a welcome there for you. And if your name is Timothy or Pat, sure fun to come from Ireland, there's a welcome on the mat. So if you come from the mountain horse, our Killarney's great to go to. We'll sing a song, we make you a fuss, so whether you are, you're one of us. You're Irish, this will play for you.